This week's episode is brought to you by David Larson, Emil Berglund, Blake Lambert, Craig Evan, and of course, Cryptic Chronicles, one of the greatest shows about the paranormal you can find anywhere, available on YouTube and wherever podcasts are served. Thank you, David Larson, Emil Berglund, Cryptic Chronicles, Blake Lambert, and Craig Evan. It's with the generous support of listeners just like you that keeps our squad of intrepid explorers of the cosmic underwear drawer equipped with the best memetic detection equipment and a few bags of salted pretzels. If you'd like to help us plunder God's panties or just hear the second half of the episode, please visit www.patreon.com/thewholerabbit, where your monthly donation of just $5 will get you instantaneous access to our entire library of extended shows. But that's not all. I'll send you a high-quality gourmet 5x5 vinyl sticker of our cover art and the secret keys to our Discord server, where you can ask Darth Dingus questions about dead people. On this week's show, we celebrate yet another year surviving another trip around the sun and gather around the fire to share listener-submitted stories of the non-fiction variety. So get comfy and prepare yourself to enjoy tales of evil ghosts, cryptids, cracks in time, and mischievous garden gnomes. A big heartfelt thank you goes out to all those who took time to submit their stories this week. Without you, I'd just be talking to a padded wall. Thank you, and enjoy the show. Before we start into the listener stories, I thought now would be a good time to make your predictions for 2023. Y'all have any predictions?
Nothing lighthearted.
Yeah, absolutely yeah. Not.
I'm expecting this to be worse than 2022, in my opinion.
All right, here's my prediction. I think Andrew Tate is going to come out as a homosexual and becomes an LGBTQ+ activist.
I don't know who this is.
That's the guy they wouldn't let into Canada.
That's the guy that wanted to talk about manipulating women?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't he like a MGTOW dating type guy?
Yeah, he's going to transition this year. That's my prediction.
He'll be allowed into Canada after that?
Oh, yeah. He'll be all about granola and sunning your butthole and that type of stuff.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with sunning your butthole.
Agree.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Whole Rabbit, where we don't just endlessly research esoteric phenomena, bizarre artifacts of religion and spirituality, various types of sorcery, nay, we also settle around the fire with a cup of hot cocoa and share ghost stories, because this week we're sharing the paranormal and otherwise spooky tales submitted to us by listeners of the show, just like you. I'm your host, Luke Madrid, the Hack Rabbit. I'm joined this week by co-hosts, the rescheduler of sisters, Mari Sama.
I'll see her next Monday. This is too good.
The overworked Malachor 5.
I swear I'm not a simp.
And the Sheba Queen of the Island Crossing, Heka Astra.
Hello. It's true. I just traveled for 5 hours from an island across the ocean.
With a Sheba.
With a Sheba.
Oh.
So I was listening to The Most Wonderful Time of the Year because it's one of the songs that plays incessantly during the holiday season. And for the first time, I noticed the lyric.
There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
So actually, ghost stories are just another part of Christmas ritual, and in my opinion, a fresh way to usher in a new year, because ghost stories, like the new year, always remind us of the limitless possibilities life has in store for us, even if that entails being disemboweled by a cryptid you accidentally conjured using your aunt's Ouija board.
I think if we get to it, we'll share my UFO experience later, after we talk about some of the listeners.
Let's get into the listener stories. So the first one on our list is called The Wisp by Sif. As usual, Sif has something interesting to contribute. I found some images of the place being spoken of in the story, and had I been invited, I certainly would have tagged along on this little journey. Sif says, there's this pagoda in the city of Reading, Pennsylvania, on the mountain that overlooks everything. It was built in 1908 and was supposed to be a hotel. It ended up being abandoned and donated to the city because of its unique architecture that matches nothing around it. A lot of shady stuff happens there at night, mostly drug deals and tweakers hanging around the nature trails up there. In high school, I went up there with my friends at nighttime just for something to do, and it was a really foggy night. You couldn't see the turns up the hill very far from the car, and when we got to the top, the red lights cast a surreal glow into the fog. Couldn't see through it. just red nothingness. We walked down to the lower balcony and saw this black wispy thing gliding up and down the length of the walkway. We walked under it and then around it and kept going. No change in light or shadow made it disappear. After 2 minutes, though, it was gone and we got really confused. This happened after I told my friend not to enter through the exact center of the torii gate because it is a spot reserved as a path for the gods in Shintoism. He posed in the exact center for a picture just to be a dick. Don't know if the apparition had anything to do with that or the location itself. It moved in odd ways, like back and forth and up and down in circular patterns. I think Sif saw Mushi.
What's a Mushi?
It's the subcategory of kami. If kamis are like individual personalities that belong to nature, then Mushi would be like pieces of the anatomy of nature itself. They're like ghosts, but not quite. They're more like natural phenomena.
They're like servant spirits or fragmented worker bees or ants or something like that.
Like nature spirits?
Yeah.
Like a Mushi might be a rainbow that has its colors all wrong. I think that's a well-known Mushi.
Yeah, that would be something that not many people will pick up. It's like, oh, look at a rainbow. But are you looking at it? Are the colors in order? Shouldn't they always be in a particular order?
They should. And if they're not, it's a Mushi.
Oh.
I think that one can blind you. Just off the top of my head, I think that's the story.
Cool.
Some of them are completely harmless, like in this case. I talked to Sif later, and I guess nothing bad happened to that friend, so it must not have been malicious.
He probably just felt like f***ing with him like he f***ed with the gate.
That's one of those ghost stories you want to have. You want to see something crazy like that, but not get hurt because of it.
Like, I'm sure if he went and desecrated or, like, damaged, vandalized the area, maybe there would have been consequences, but it's like, oh, you're pulling a little prank? I could pull one too and scare the shit out of you guys.
He would have violently ripped his butt pearls out, just like, whoosh. So the pagoda itself is said to symbolize a holy mountain. Interesting that it was placed on top of one. The one in Reading, Pennsylvania is one in the style of a traditional Japanese pagoda consisting of 5 unique sections, each with its own roof projecting outwards with a large rod protruding from the top towards the sky. Each section is traditionally associated with one of the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, wind, and void, or maybe sky. They don't have a lot of usable space inside, so that makes sense it didn't become a hotel. They tend to have more spiritual rather than practical purpose.
In the second generation Pokemon games, the Haunted Tower, like one of them is where you first interact with the legendary Pokemon of those games.
Oh yeah, the Ghost Tower in Lavender Town. Ooh, spooky.
Speaking of haunted, we have a story from none other than Darth Dingus.
That might be enough to scare some people.
The one.
Just the name.
The one, the only. The Dingle Dude.
Yeah, he used to be around.
Yeah, what happened to that man?
He works at a mortuary now, which he deals with a lot of dead people all the time.
His job is to professionally remove the bodies, right?
Well, that...
And bring them in?
We'll tell his tale here.
I want people to know what my job is to prove I'm full send nuts. After years of manual labor, I was getting bored and decided it was time for something new. Something unconventional. So long story short, I became a body removal guy after being dragged into the business by one of my gods. I've been fascinated by death, especially what happens after death, like becoming a miserable orb of semi-tangible ecto-spooge. I've always believed in ghosts and was always jealous of other occultists' poignant ghost stories. A major perk of this job was the repeated promise that it was, quote, only a matter of time before I had a close encounter. Fast forward 3 months, I've been making runs by myself for a while now, and on this day, I was sent to a nursing facility to take a client into our care. The removal was a bit abnormal from the outset, as the nurses had already prepared every document that I would need and had no interest in accompanying me into the dissident's quarters. It was highly unusual for a facility removal to be unwitnessed by staff, but I took all the necessary documentation and started down the hall. It took a solid minute to get to a room, all the way in the back of the hall, where I would wrap my gloved fingers about the easy grip nursing home door handle, give it a jostle. Nothing. It's locked. It's always awkward to walk through these nursing homes with your black coat and stretcher. People will stare at you because you serve as a reminder of the inevitable, and I'm just stuck outside this woman's locked door. I look for the nurses back down the hallway who are small enough in the distance to be covered with a dime. I really don't want to drag all my corpse removal paraphernalia past another cumulative quarter mile of the lonely and enfeebled. I look back at the door, sigh, and snap my hand back for a one strong, confirming shake. Doesn't budge an inch. Door is locked as f***. holding out hope that I'm just a hapless schmuck and maybe there's a nurse inside, or that I was just too stupid to operate a nursing home door handle, I stare at the handle in disappointment. Looking back down to the orderlies who have walked out of sight before accepting defeat, I knocked on the door handle and asked, "Ma'am?" No response. So I go to the handle just one more time. And the door flies open with the greatest of ease, just like it should. There was no click, no electric whir, no motor actuating, the outside keyhole hadn't rotated, and there was only a still warm dead lady inside. She opened the door for me. One of the orderlies would come about 10 minutes later to give me the pronouncement that she had forgotten and had no idea the room was locked. I had been looking for a ghost story my entire life and was always jealous of those with stories that I found believable. But when this happened, I just accepted it immediately. Oh yeah, it was the ghosts. It didn't dawn on me until my family asked if I had any ghost stories, which I denied, and my cousin told a completely bullshit Christian demon story that I realized, no, I do have a ghost story.
Oh, Lord.
That's spooky.
I've always heard that hospitals, especially the people who work there, are rife with experiences and phenomena of drawers opening and like all the medical tools coming out. And then like the vets who are in the room with like the newbie are like, we just don't talk about that.
My dad's got a ton of ghost stories because he was a hospital janitor for 15 years. And a good chunk of that was in the extended care unit where the old people are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Lots of crazy stuff happens there.
That's what makes Dr. Sleep like a really interesting movie too, is because like he's kind of giving some of those souls peace at these various locations where people die.
Yeah, and it's really interesting too, because my dad never believed in any of this stuff. I don't think he was an atheist, but when he got sick and was bedridden in the hospital, he had visions of his mother coming to check, make sure he's okay, and to kind of ease him into the afterlife. And these were ghosts that he would see them. My stepmom would see him confront her, and she knew that it was true that he saw her there. But I don't know if she was a ghost so much as that she was coming to bring him to the afterlife. But it's an entity nonetheless. You know, I really believe that he actually saw his mother sitting on the side of the bed.
I think it's funny because a lot of people would assume probably that doctors and nurses don't believe in spirits. But a lot of the older doctors and nurses, my dad found that a lot of them had plenty of stories to tell and said that they went into it not believing in that kind of stuff. But after working at the hospital for so long, they're like, yep, there's definitely something.
You can't be like a medical doctor talking about ghosts. You're going to lose your credentials and your job.
That's why they talk about it amongst themselves and not to outsiders, really.
It's like how if you're a Navy pilot, you don't exactly want to be talking about UFOs, even if you've seen one. You're just that crazy guy now.
I'm not a believer. I'm a big skeptic. I'm just like a logical person. I have to experience it. And for me, like, I've been in my room and I have this old radio that you got to like flip a switch on the top to turn it on. And I always have it plugged in. And there's sometimes I get annoyed because there's like a constant frequency going on in the air because the radio is plugged in, just the volume's low. And sometimes it just will start making noise. And one time it did start like playing music. And I can't explain that. But to me, that's not like convincing of a ghost or anything. But it was weird because like no matter what I did with the knobs, it didn't stop until I unplugged it.
You just have to hang out with me for long enough and eventually you'll witness something.
I do want to talk about something I experienced with you, but only after another listener story. My mother was a critical care nurse, and she has a story about a patient she was talking to before he died. They were discussing the afterlife. I don't remember all the details, but after he flatlined and was dead, like dead, my mom said that she saw this guy open his eyes very briefly and give a jolly wink and then go back to being dead. Like as if to be like, there is something on the other side. It's real. All right, later.
Huh.
Our next story is from The Entity. Okay, Mari, do this one.
Is that the user's name?
Yes, that's the user's name. And I guess it does have something to do with the story. Maybe this is what it's a reference to.
Once when I was between the ages of like 8 and 10, I was staying with my grandma for the day. I don't remember why, but it's more than likely because I asked to be there. What kid doesn't want to be with a grandma? Anyway, my grandma was talking to my mom or my grandpa when she came into her room where I was while I was stabbing the bed with a knife. She freaked out a little and took the knife away from me and was like, "Why are you doing that?" My response was, "The man in black told me to do it." After that, I don't think I've spoken about that man again. Another incident that may or may not be unrelated was when I was 13 to 14 living in Dallas. Me and Grandma were hanging out in the kitchen when we saw her medicine bottle fly off the counter. And I mean fly. someone knocked that shit off into the air, which was weird because not only was it in the middle of the kitchen counter, but also on top of the microwave, so no one could just accidentally do that. So it's like some telekinesis stuff going on.
Okay, something happened to me like this when I was at Heka Astra's house. There was a small pyramid made of rock that flew off its place on the altar, leaving a prominent dust outline where it used to sit. Nothing around it had moved. It just decided to move by itself. So it happens.
We both heard it, too. We both heard it move, and then we were like, what the fuck was that?
I don't want to be here anymore. Goodbye.
There was, like, a creepy vibe in the room, and it was rainy out. So it was, like, a typical, like, after dark, ghosty kind of night. Have you guys ever experienced anything like that?
My mom has. I don't really see things fly around, per se. But after a heavy session of the Ouija board with my mom's friends, she put it in the top of her closet and went to bed like two nights later, and the Ouija board like wiggled itself out and yeeted itself to the bottom of the closet. And she thought someone was like breaking into her room, but it was just the board game.
I've had people tell me before that I'm like a portal for this kind of activity. Like, it's easier for it to happen when I'm around for some reason. And this actually just came up on Christmas holidays because my dad was like, no, we never get anything weird happening here. Because he was asking what the podcast was all about. I was telling him that it was about, you know, all sorts of occult and paranormal stuff. So we were talking about ghosts, and he said that nothing ever happens in this new place of his since he's been there. And when we were trying to go to sleep, kept moving around in the kitchen. And he's like, I don't know what that is. And I was
it's
like,
it's you.
Fine. I told you. It just happens. Just get used to it.
So some people who listen to this podcast practice magic. I've noticed that when I do a working, if the working draws people into my life, they tend to be people who are also on a spiritual vibration or also maybe work with those same deities or entities or are like definitely an avatar of whatever energy I called upon. And it seems to me that there's going to be some people that just are never affected by that weird spooky magic stuff. Some people are just like resistant to it, or they don't vibe with it or whatever.
I think I'm definitely in that category where like people are like, dude, like when you're around me, I just feel spiritually, like paranormally protected. I've always been about warding stuff off, like a warden. In the spiritual experience, like when I explain stuff to people, they're like, dude, you really like got me thinking and now I get it. But I don't attract ghosts. They don't throw things around my room all the time. Though one time, my chalice on my altar did go flying across the room when I was starting to mess around with Enoki and stuff.
You non-believers have the funniest way of saying things like that. Like, oh, there was that one time my chalice just flew off my altar. Like, what?
It could have been something. I had my fucking eyes closed chanting in the other direction. And then, you know, like it happened behind my back. I don't know. You know, it could have been a fucking big roach in my room. I don't know, man.
And Enoki and Angel just chucks a chalice at the back of your head.
So I used to have two Shibas, and one of my Shibas passed away. Her name was Kai, and this was just before Luke came to visit that she passed away. And while Luke was visiting, we were both sitting on the bed and in the same room. I don't know if Luke heard it too or not, but you recognize your dog's collar sounds. And I heard Kai shake, and there was no dog in that corner. There was no cat in that corner. There was nothing in that corner. And I think Luke heard it too. I don't remember if he did or not, but
yeah, it was one of those things where I heard Hide in that corner, and then I looked and Hide was right next to us, kind of thing.
Yeah, Hide was on the bed with us. But I know the difference between Hide's collar sound and Kai's collar sound.
Yeah.
You know, like when you have dogs, you know that.
It's a little harder for me to confirm, but there was no questioning that like dust spot around your pyramid that had like just flown off the shelf. It was just no way to explain that.
It was a Labradorite pyramid.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So speaking of Ouija boards, this next one is by user Radix.
So Radix says, during my second year of high school, I made a friend. Let's call him Ben. After hanging out a few times, Ben asked me if I ever used a Ouija board. I never had, and the taboo aspect of it sparked my interest. It seemed kind of strange because I thought it was mainly like a party game and had to have a bunch of people to use it. Ben explained that he had been using it by himself and that the spirits that he had contacted had taught him how to use it. He mentioned that there were a few rules. The most important, he said, was to never contact the Ouija master, which he said was the spirit of the board.
Hmm.
He also said the spirits told him that by using the board, it would raise his psychic power level, allowing stronger contact. These, plus how to call spirits and banish them, were also conveyed in this manner. He gave me a tour of the board, contacting a few of the spirits that he frequently talked to. One said it was a Confederate Civil War soldier named Wayne. There were quite a number of Civil War battlefields in the area. Another one said it was an alien without a name, as when asked its name, the planchette would just swim in odd circle patterns. The last notable one said it was the consciousness of a human from the future who called himself Nostradamus. I had no clue about Nostradamus at this time. It talked about time travel and tried to give us equations. It was all fun and games, but one thing I noticed is the spirits kept referring to my friend as Death Gesture. When I first heard this, I laughed because I thought it was being edgy and he just made it up. I thought he meant death gesture, like a gesture.
Like clown, a clown.
But no, he explained it was gesture as a motion of death. The spirits refused to elaborate on this when asked. This went on for a few weeks, and eventually, during one session with Wayne, Ben's mom called him upstairs. I took this opportunity to ask the spirits what to do with death gesture, and it spelled out K-I-L-L.
Kill.
I immediately said goodbye, and I put away. Didn't mention this to Ben for fear of upsetting him and wrote it off as spooky bullshit. The next day at school, Ben rushed to meet me in the hall, pulling me to a side corner, his face pale, obviously shaken, and stammered out, "We have to break and burn the board." I was taken back because he had been using it for a while himself before, and he never had any qualms with it. Concerned, I asked him what happened. He said that last night, he was suddenly woken up by something that pressed down on top of him and started to choke him. No amount of struggle prevailed. He felt he was close to passing out. At this time, he gave in and started to pray to God. He said he could feel the presence lift from him and the attack stopped. Hell yeah, Jesus, kick ass. When school let out, we both took the board and planchette, broke it, and burned it. Still, I never told him about the message the spirit had told me, and he never picked the board up again. Later on, I picked up the board myself and used it by myself when bored until the planchette would just zip off to the side. No goodbye, no response, just whooped off to the side of the board. I would put it back and try calling another spirit. Same thing over and over. Eventually, right before it did this again, I asked if it was my guardian angel, and it quickly went to yes, then pushed itself off to the side. Since then, the boards don't work for me.
That's what happens when your holy guardian angel's a cat. Okay, if you listen to podcasts where people tell true ghost stories like this, it is unbelievable how frequently people get themselves into trouble because they do this Ouija board thing where they're just like, any old spirit, are you out there? And then invariably something bad happens. So I've never used one. I use tarot cards all the time. If you subscribe for $20, I'll read your cards, but I've never touched a Ouija board. Have you guys ever played with one? Did it work?
I've never had to use one to contact.
I've never used one.
Mari?
No, not personally.
Well, that was an exciting conversation.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought they were bullshit.
After I heard that horror story from my mom, I never picked one up.
Apparently, Aleister Crowley thought they were great.
I've never felt the need to use one as a tool, personally, because I've never had a problem if I wanted to contact, not being able to contact.
I mean, same here, pretty much.
It seems tedious to have to spell out a message one letter at a time. With the tarot, you're getting like a whole story and a story upon stories, and archetypes are interacting and meshing together like weird archetypal chemistry.
Yeah, and like that's the same thing as like I'm more visual. I'm not very much a technical person. Like I don't really need specific words, but visions actually help me a lot more.
So just before we move on to the next story, I think I just wanted to comment on Ouija boards in general because a lot of the stories that I hear from people that use Ouija boards, it seems like it's a very easy way to get in contact with trickster spirits. And trickster spirits are more than likely what you're going to contact the majority of the time if you're just blindly searching, whether you have a Ouija board or not. That's my opinion. And I think if you're new to contacting spirits, that maybe it's not the best thing to just jump straight into it. Maybe it's a better idea to figure out how to protect yourself first and then take everything with a grain of salt when you start to experiment. So I don't have any qualms necessarily with using Ouija boards if that's your preferred tool, but I think there should be some caution getting into it if you're new to it.
Based on all the stories I've heard, it's less like using a telephone and more like just bleeding into the ocean water and hoping that a nice shark comes to say hi.
It's really easy for a trickster spirit to claim that it is whoever it is that you're trying to contact. You know, say you want to talk to your dead grandmother. It's really really easy for a trickster spirit to be like, I'm totally your dead grandmother.
Oh, I'm totally your dead grandmother, little Timmy. Remember that time I fed you butterscotch and you smuggled me your mom's painkillers? We're gonna do that again.
Whoa, it's gotta be her. Only she would know that. No, any spirit that can read your mind would also know that.
From experience with working with certain goetic spirits that are said to teach you, like, secrets and shit, it works. So, like, this Ouija board in particular, in this case, like, you know, like, oh, it's going to improve your magic capabilities. Hold on, my cat's trying to destroy my laptop right now. I got to get him out of my room. Sometimes the shortcut does come through in the lesson part. Like, I did learn a lot very quickly. I feel like I cheated almost in terms of magical knowledge. Like, it just got downloaded into my brain, to use Luke's terminology. Like, I was just going through all the files for a couple years, and it was like, wow, this really is all in my head. Amazing. But, you know, I didn't have to pay a price in one way or another, whether it was directly involved with some symbolic deal with said goetic spirit, because I don't believe in it like everybody else does. But the whole idea of, like, a Ouija board being a teacher in some way, a spirit being a teacher, like, to advance you, I definitely believe in that philosophy of, like, well, sacrifice something, give it an offering and see what happens, and maybe dropping your guard, like putting your wards down is part of the process, and letting it in and actually doing the, like, the psychic surgery that needs to be done to you for you to become an advanced mage or something, in my terminology.
You mean abused by a ghost?
I had a sleep paralysis succubus give me a wet dream one time. It was as real as it can be, but I understand that in the hypnagogic state, we can, like, hallucinate and experience shadow people and stuff, and I was definitely asleep in a dream, having horny dreams, and then I tried waking up, and then horny demon girl was on top of me. So, it's weird, but I don't think it was a fucking ghost or a succubus. Maybe it was.
Well, what is it then?
Well, maybe I'm just horny. Like, we know that when you're in that state of mind, you're going to see stuff, and I was half dreaming about boning and trying to wake up, and, you know, shit happens.
I think you make it real, whether it's real or not.
I don't believe in them like everybody else, I say, but it works the same way.
I really think it's fascinating when there's so many different perspectives from occultists, whether it's real or whether it's all in your head, but ultimately that what works, works, whether it's real outside of you or not.
I think it's both.
I think it's also both, yeah.
Look, I told my kid how it is with Santa. I know they don't believe in Santa anymore, but I told her, long after you and me are dead and nobody cares about us anymore, people will still know about Santa. Okay, Radix has another story, thank goodness. I'm so thankful for everyone who submitted stories this week.
Yeah, these are cool.
You're up, Heka Astra.
Okay, so Radix writes, back in the early 2000s, I was living in a place we called the Valley, hidden away behind a golf course community. It was a huge house. 2-story, 5 bedrooms, and the property was 3 acres with a plot of 5 to the left and 7 to the right, a huge valley in the heart of Fairfax. One night, 2 other roomies and I were out in the front yard smoking cigarettes during a light, misty rain when we heard a very odd sound behind us, a very low, zapping sound, like a Tesla coil just got turned on. We turn around and the whole back of the house is surrounded in a purple aura, an unflickering aura that went from a darker purple at the rooftop lightning to the brilliant white edges, so solid you couldn't see the treetops behind it. One roomie exclaimed, "Whoa, it's aliens!" I replied, "It's gotta be some type of energy discharge, like ball lightning." At this time, the sound grew rapidly in intensity. To me, it sounded like someone flipped the wrong switch at a power station and just let it discharge. The sound grew louder and more rapid, like if it was a car engine, it was climbing way past the red line and it just kept going well past the point the engine would explode. I was really curious and wanted to get a better look at what was going on in the backyard. Going around to the side of the house, I could see nothing but a solid white glow emanating from around the corner. At this point, the sound of pure electric discharge was so intense it froze me in place with fear, knowing that if I went around the corner, I might be immediately vaporized. I stood there for a few moments in awe, then nothing. It suddenly disappeared. No movement, no sound, no aura, no smells. I ran around the corner trying to put some logic to it. Checked the outside lights, the AC unit, trees, seeing if there were any power lines or anything that might help explain any sign of what the fuck just happened. Nothing. Not one mark. The whole incident lasted about 3 to 5 minutes straight. I know for me personally, I saw some kind of swamp gas once when I was a kid in the car with my dad. And it was my dad in the front seat, my mom in the passenger seat, and my two brothers and I in the back. And we were just driving down back roads because we used to take family drives in the car. And my dad saw some kind of light in the forest because we're in BC, right? So there's a lot of forest, and especially on the back roads. My dad saw some kind of light in the forest, so he just stopped the car and waited. We sat there in silence, and it took several minutes for this thing to come out from between the trees, and it went right across the road, and it was just floating slowly, and then it went and disappeared into the trees on the other side. We just sat there for a long time, like, what the fuck was that? And then eventually my dad just drove on.
Like a will-o-wisp.
I guess so, yeah.
But was it blinding?
No, it just looked like a round white light. Like, it wasn't even really that fascinating. It was just weird.
I've seen a will-o-wisp, and you're right, Luke. They just float around outside of your aura of perception. If you get too close, they kind of disappear. But I used to hang out in a graveyard when I was younger, and occasionally we would see these lights like bobbing up and down going through the graveyard from but it was always from afar, right?
The one that we saw, it just looked like it was on a straight course. Like, it didn't move up or down. It just went straight really slowly.
It was like a fog, though, like a gassy thing.
It was just like a white orby light thing.
I've seen some UFOs on multiple occasions. UFOs or just like, you know, fireballs in the sky, like solid red, like a red light at the street sign. One time when I was outside my childhood home in Los Angeles, I have some short footage of it. It was being for other people, and just our reactions, you know, that are recorded. It's hard to zoom in on a little dot in the sky in the nighttime with the camcorder, you know, when you got to zoom in to make it like full screen. So the footage is horrible, but our reactions and what we're saying are genuine to what was going on in front of us. And like red fireball dot in the sky that looked like a anime star. I don't know if you even care what that might mean, but like a twinkle, basically, shut off and was like, boom, popping up in another spot, shutting off, and then like really quickly getting closer and closer to, from our perception, what looked like lower to the earth. And then it started like just hovering and stopping and then dropping down. It was doing this cool dance for like 3-4 minutes, and then it fucking like burned bright, shut off, came back on and zipped out like of the atmosphere. And you can see it like very faintly, just like a shooting star would. And it was like the most incredible thing I had ever seen at the time.
I'm envious. I wish I had seen something like that.
I mean, it does sound like a UFO encounter because a will-o-wisp, it does blink in and out, but it doesn't really like zoom into the distance like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But Radix's experience, it's this blinding white light, like this huge burst of energy, and it's so intense, they're afraid to go around the corner. Okay. I saw maybe something like this from a distance once. I was up at this place called Meditation Mountain. It's a very beautiful garden for meditating. Well, I'm overlooking the valley, a bajillion trees, and then out of the corner from somewhere in the trees, there is this white blue flash that envelops the entire valley. It's blinding. It's brighter than the sun, and then it's gone. I was like, what did I just see? And I thought about it. It was just like this, or there was nothing afterwards to substantiate it. It was just this, it was so bright, it didn't make sense.
There's this global phenomenon that's like a flash and then a delayed boom, like an explosion sound. It's pretty weird. It's pretty well known online. It sounds a little bit like that, you know, just like this very bright lighting up everything, and then a boom. You didn't say a boom after your experience, but
no,
you know, giant flashes, you know, are definitely like a weird phenomenon that you can find on the internet.
You know what it sounds like to me? Like, this is my experience, is not paranormal at all, but the style of flash that it sounds like, it reminds me of the time that I saw a transformer explode on a telephone pole.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a bright flash, but it also sounded like a shotgun. It was so loud, really, really loud. It sounded like an explosion. The flash of light sounds a lot like that.
The fact it didn't make noise is what surprised me, and there was no damage. Like, anything that bright should be like, you know, Sarah Connor, like, oh, I'm burning and I'm on fire now, it's the end of the world, all that stuff, you know, like a bright light like that means something bad, but nothing happened.
Like a rift opened, and then the men in black closed it immediately.
Yeah,
because they're badass. That was their little device, just like, oh, you didn't see nothing. Goodbye.
Like the memory wipe thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, that's like some real tech. Like Men in Black, the movie, based it off of some hypothetical, perhaps it's real memory wiping flash thing.
It's real.
I believe it.
Okay. This next one is from Skylar, and it's a series of spoopy encounters. Christmas of 2014, my mother let me open up a present early. Now, I was always someone who had an interest in the occult, paranormal, and the like, and she knew that, so I was happy to open up the present and even happier to see it was a Ouija board. Yes, I had heard about all the rules, such as don't play alone, stuff like that, but I'm someone who pushes against the rules of authority, so I paid that no heed, and I certainly paid the price for it. Later, that same night, around midnight, I fully opened up the box, took out the Ouija board, leaving the lights on because I was a little afraid. I began asking questions akin to, is there any spirit there? Would anyone like to speak to me? Do you have a message you would like to share? And after receiving no responses or strangeness, I put it away with disappointment. Some time passed, and I was on my bed watching YouTube videos when I noticed a blur of motion in my peripheral. So I glanced up and saw a pure black mass in the shape of a person just step out from the corner of the doorway and then dart back behind the corner. Thinking it was my little brother or mom just checking on me, I got up and walked out to see, only to find them both sound asleep. So I returned to my bedroom and laid back down. After what felt like 40 minutes, I once again saw a blur of motion out of the corner of my eye and glance up. However, this time, the shadow person or mass was much bigger and had red, piercing eyes. Instead of hiding, like the other one that stepped into my room, this one charged at me, and next thing I knew, everything went black. I came to in the morning. However, I wasn't in my bed like I had been. I was on the floor, sprawled out as if I had been standing and just collapsed. Told my mother about the things I saw last night, but it just got dismissed as nightmares. After this event happened, my life pretty much spiraled downwards. I fell into a really dark, deep depression cycle. Always found myself in toxic or abusive relationships, always moving from family member to family member and so on, as if I was just perpetually cursed to struggle in life. In 2016, I had just gotten out of a really bad relationship and my aunt took me in. This is when the next dark event happened to me, which took place during the middle of summer. I was staying up late one night, just watching meme videos on YouTube from my laptop. I don't recall falling asleep. I started feeling drowsy, so I went to close the laptop when I noticed a frail-looking woman or girl standing at the foot of my bed. She was wearing what looked to be a dirty, torn, old-looking white dress, had dirty, tangled, long black hair, and once I noticed her, I heard what sounded like a faint whisper. I froze up, and I watched as she slowly crawled her way onto the bed and slowly up my body until her face was essentially right in front of mine. And when the smell of rotten decay filled my nostrils, which quickly caused my vision to go dark, but before I lost consciousness, I remember hearing a soft, guttural, feminine voice whisper, "You are mine." Next thing I know, I come to and find my aunt screaming, "Wake up! Are you okay?" And shaking me in a panic, I sat up and she basically told me that she had been woken up to use the bathroom and heard a strange noise from my room, so she checked on me and she described that she saw me convulsing with one hand around my throat and my other hand trying to force itself down into my mouth. Again, nothing similar happened again while I lived with her. The next related event happened in 2017. One night in the middle of December, my girlfriend at the time and I had been watching movies in the living room. She had fallen asleep when I felt the need to use the restroom. So I get up, make my way to the restroom, and do my business. And then as I go to wash my hands, I notice a dirty white dress just hanging from the bathroom door fall to the floor. I watch in horror as the dress began to morph and shape into the exact same dirty, frail-looking woman from my aunt's house. And before I could even mutter a word, I remember feeling a force push me back against the wall. And then in just a blink, she was standing right in front of me, her face again just inches from my face, and the familiar smell of rotten decay filling my nostrils where I once again lose vision and consciousness. I come to find my girlfriend at the time in hysterics and screaming, crying, being comforted by her dad's friend while her dad was kneeling over me. Once I came to and reassured them I was perfectly fine, they told me that they were all woken by a loud bang from the bathroom, and after calling out and receiving no response, they unlocked the door from the outside and saw me convulsing on the floor, one hand on my throat, the other in my mouth. However, this time my right arm had long, thin sets of scratches on it that had been bleeding a little. Like the other related incidents, nothing really happened for some time afterwards. The next and last related incident to this experience happened in 2018. I had just met my now fiance, and one night we're on Skype talking about Wicca and spiritualism. I felt compelled to tell her about the Ouija board playing I did and the dark experiences I've had. The next and last related incident to this experience happened in 2018. She got really worried and the next day went out, bought some crystals for protection, and a sage stick for me and shipped them to me. We were in a long distance relationship at this time. After I received the crystals and sage stick, I did a cleansing on myself. And I remember just feeling an immense weight lift off my shoulders and a sense of lightness inside of me, something I hadn't felt in a long time. A few months later, I ended up moving to her state and living with her, where she also did her own blessing and cleansings with her mom's help. I still occasionally have nightmares and dreams of that figure just staring at me from the darkness, but whenever those happen, we do a cleansing with sage, and they tend to not happen for a while. I would die of fear if a monster materialized from a dirty garment on the floor. Straight up, that'd be the end of me.
I fear that I might be a materialized entity from a dirty garment on the floor from the past.
I make a lot of them.
I wake up, I pick up my clothes, and I put them on. They're dirty.
What if you heard rustling from your duffel bag of socks?
Oh.
Foot fetish guy's dream.
It's like the thing, but a foot? Like a hot girl foot?
No, a sweaty, cool, smelly, disgusting, cheese-ridden, crusty sock. Ugh.
In this scenario, it seems like love is conquering the situation, though.
But if you'd like to hear the rest of the listener-submitted stories, please visit www.patreon.com/thewholerabbit, where your monthly donation of just $5 will get you access to all our extended episodes. I'll send you a 5x5 vinyl sticker of our cover and the secret keys to our Discord server, where you can tell us about your crazy ghost stories.
And show us your pets.
Thank you, everybody. Eat carrots and shoot lasers.
Yes, please.
Do what now?
Pew, 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 pew.